welcome to the Top 10 Countdown with Gary Ull and Gigi's Boo. But this week, it's the best of the 50s, the 1950s. We're heading back. Our time machine took a broad path this time, didn't it, Gigi's Boo?
Yes, it did. Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's out there jumping around. We got folks all over the place. We've got people in the Discord Suspect Sky Music Enjoyment chat room. And there's Eva over there, and Adrian, Suspect Sky himself, is over there. And I suspect Five Mugix is sneaking around somewhere. He usually catches the show. And there'll be some other folks, I'm sure, who are hanging out over there. Yeah, Grimner's all aces. All aces.
All aces here.
I love
here,
that. And over to Real Liberty Media chat room and RLM Radio, that's where we are. Got a bunch of people over there. Turns out that the IRC server, I guess it, I don't know, it might have taken a co-fraud shot, but the Freenode server died. It went away, so they had to go to a new server. So we're playing, as Kate indicated, following the breadcrumbs until I found the new IRC server. Actually, Grimner gave me a hint. I have to admit, for full disclosure, he gave me a hint of where it was located. Yeah, everybody's just over there hanging out. But we're in the 50s. Oh, I mean, just a broad swath of the 50s, you know. And let's talk about for a second, Gigi's Boo. Did you know that car hops were the way to get your hamburger and milkshake in the 50s? Yeah, those burger joints, you know, you could just park outside and the waitress would glide out on roller skates to take your
order. That's kind of when people got getting fat, right?
Well, that's when it started.
Pull up and get their burger and sit in the car, not exercise.
That's right.
Like walking in your house and stuff like that.
That's right. And then they had this thing called a haircut. Who knows what that stands for? We'll just lay that out there for a second and we'll come back to it. A DA haircut. Okay, poodle skirts. That's something Gigi's Boo talked about on a previous show. What about what's a poodle skirt, Gigi's Boo?
Poodle skirts were usually made of felt, and they had a poodle on them.
Yeah.
And they were cut on a real wide circle.
Yeah.
And then the girls usually wore the crinoline petticoats to make them stand out, and bobby socks and saddle off skirts, and they had, they wore sweaters with them.
Yeah, there you go.
The real going style, yeah.
Yeah, and Grimner knew exactly what a DA haircut was, and I'm quite sure that he never wore one, but he knew what it was. It stands for duck's ass. Seriously, it stands for a duck's ass haircut. And there were a couple of ways you could do that, but basically your hair was slicked back along the sides of your head and you created a part that ran straight up the middle of the back of your head. Now think about that, kind of picture that. So some of these imaginative folks out there decided it resembled a waterfowl's backside. Apparently the world agreed. And Brill Cream was the thing. And Vaseline.
That was.
Yeah, and Vaseline. A little dabble, do you? Kate's got it. We have some historians in here, don't we?
That's right.
Yeah. Do you know you could go to a sock hop? Who knows what that was? I guarantee they do. That's an easy one. That was an informal dance usually held in high school gymnasium.
Usually after the football game.
That's right, after football game. Yeah, we're just old. Right.
No, I'm not old, but I've been to a sock hop.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. The whole idea of that is that you have to take your shoes off because most of the time the gymnasium had wood floors for the basketball court.
That's
basketball.
Right.
Floor, and you couldn't wear shoes on there, so you had to wear just your socks. So if you forgot to wear socks, you're out of luck. Oh, yeah, a diplomat sometimes. Yeah, coonskin caps. Who remembers those images of little kids running around with coonskin caps on? That was a big craze among the young boys in the 50s, and that was probably a tribute to people like Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone, and everyone's eyes were agog with all these romantic concepts of frontier life. So, you know, that was kind of a thing. Yeah, Grimner City had one of those coonskin caps, complete with the tail. Oh, my. And Gigi's Boo, did you ever have a pair of Oxford shoes, saddle-shaped decorative panels in the middle?
No, not particularly. Mm-hmm. I didn't have those. I had some tennis shoes, but when I had to have some saddle Oxfords for a play one time, Mama made us some. Mm-hmm. You know, she kind of painted them up and made us some, but no, never had the opportunity to wear saddle Oxfords.
Well, that's okay.
My mom did.
What in the world? I'm not even going to go there. All right. Yeah, those are Oxford shoes, you know, and they're really stiff and kind of clunky and probably weren't very comfortable, but everybody liked the way they looked. I'll tell you what. Yeah, how about this? People would stuff themselves into phone booths. College students, particularly.
I saw some of that on some old movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what we stuffed ourselves in when we were young, doodlebugs.
Yep. Volkswagen.
You know, VWs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I think the record around here, and I was in that record, was 22 people.
I remember.
And I got to be on one of the top layers because I was real skinny.
Right. Yeah, I remember an occasion where we did that, and this little guy, we had to stuff him in the boot. You remember what the boot was? It was a space behind the back seat.
Oh, God.
Had to stuff him in the boot. We were going down the road. Everybody's hanging out the windows.
I can just see that.
Yeah, it was funny stuff. Yeah, okay. Let's see. Where are we time-wise? Don't even have my time. We're 8 minutes in. We're good. All right. Let's see. What else went on in the 50s that was really big deal? Drive-in movies obviously became very popular. And remember that as we go along here. Because you had the car culture coming on board and the film industry in the 50s all kind of coming together. So the first drive-in movie theater opened actually in 1933. I didn't know that until I looked it up. But it wasn't until the 50s that they really caught on. Probably yes, because cars just, you know, not everyone had a car. Yeah, let's see. Let's do one more. Who out there had a letter jacket in high school?
The football players and all the jocks lettered.
Yeah, who had a letter jacket? I did. Adrian did over at Suspect Scott Chat. And by the way, Adrian, by the way, Brenna, Adrian said hello. Yeah, he was a
swimmer. Hi, Adrian.
Yeah, he was a swimming guy. I was a football and baseball guy. Yeah, so that was.
I don't wonder why they didn't kill Gary. He had to be so fast.
That's
because he's a little bitty old fella playing ball.
I'll tell you a story about that. I used to get to go in early after every practice. Because the last thing we did were like 50-yard wind sprints. And the first ones that, you know, the people who would win, you know, on the sprint, they got to go in. So that was the first one. I knew how this game, I broke the code on that stuff. Anyway, let's jump on a song here. The 1950 song, not much really to be said about it. It was a song done by K-Star and Tennessee Ernie Ford. We picked it out. And most of the songs you'll hear tonight were picked out not of the top 10, but a little bit further down. Some that, I don't know, seem to make sense. Anyway, the 1950 song is I'll Never Be Free.
Each time I hold
in my embrace, I'll never be free.
And when my lips burn with desire, no other kiss puts out the fire.
Though I may try and try,
no one can satisfy.
dawning in me. I'll never be free from your smile so tender, the sweet surrender in your eyes.
How can I be free when I still remember how you could thrill me with a sigh just like a chain bound to my heart. Your love remains when we're apart. Each kiss I gave to you
made me a slave to you.
I'll never be free.
Never Be Free, K-Star and Tennessee Ernie Ford. Gigi's Blue, that was a chart crosser. That was actually a country western song that charted on the popular songs as well. Number two and number three, respectively. So, kind of, I thought that was a kind of an interesting draw to pull into tonight's show. Just a little bit on the different side. Hey. Hey, that's Hal over there. RLM chat. The IRC chat, by the way. Yeah. He says, hey there, used twos. Did you get that Gigi's booze? Ooh. That was terrible. Oh, yeah. Gigi's booze, did you ever own a pair of cat eye glasses?
No.
Did you say?
No.
You said no. Ah. Well, you know, those were real popular back in the 50s. A lot of young girls like to have a pair of cat eye glasses. But today you see them again because they're kind of a retro look. And if you're wondering where those funny looking cat eye glasses that people wear, and there's a certain journalist podcaster that does wear a pair, and I'm not going to call any names, you might know who I'm talking about. I mean, they're perfectly fine. Don't get me, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that that's a retro look. It's something that people like to wear. It looks different. Okay, Grimnir, let me ask you this. Did you ever have a pair of fuzzy dice hanging on your rearview mirror? I bet Hal did. I know Hal did. Hal had a pair of fuzzy dice. What do you think, Gigi's Blue?
Well, I can tell you right now, there's fuzzy dice appearing in the windshields again, so it's retro.
Say that again.
You're seeing fuzzy dice reappear in the windshield hanging from the rearview mirror around here.
Yeah.
Because it's retro. Yeah.
Yeah, it is retro. Yeah, it became a big deal. Yeah, it became a big deal in the 50s. And it could be because that during World War II, fighter pilots hung them in their cockpits for good luck. So in the 50s, it became one of the first items sold specifically for hanging from a car's rearview mirror. And it became a big deal. Then I can vaguely recall seeing 57 Chevys running around. I missed it. How said he missed that one. But you know, sideburns were a big deal too, and probably because of Elvis Presley. You know, that's Elvis, and also James Dean. James Dean sported some sideburns, and they had become popular again. They'd been popular before the turn of the century, and maybe a little after, but then they became popular again in the 50s. And it became a big element of that classic greaser look. Everybody with the leather jackets and, you know, and the duck's ass haircuts. Of course, you know, you had those tight T-shirts with the sleeves rolled up, and you know, maybe a pack of cigarettes rolled up in the sleeve. How many people did that? I'll be honest. Who did that? Somebody out right here did it. I know they did it. There's no going to admit it. Did you know the first credit card came out in 1950?
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh my God. The Diners Club card. And I can remember back in the day that everybody thought they'd want to have a Diners Club card, but you know, those were hard to get. I mean, you had to make like $1,500 a year or something to get a Diners Club. That was big money in those days. And, you know, that kind of opened the door to all these other credit cards that showed up. Did you know the Peanuts cartoon strip was introduced in 1950? Charles Schulz's
wow.
Peanuts cartoon strip. Isn't that still? And I know he's passed away, and that's not too long ago, actually. But I think that still shows up in the newspapers, doesn't it?
I don't know, but if it does, somebody will have it removed like they did Dr. Seuss.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you can have that.
Listen, look at Hal. Hal said, if it quacks and it walks like a duckette, it's a... That's it.
Three guesses. It's a duck's ass. No.
That's right.
Oh, here's a good one. And this is something somebody in this chat room may have been involved in. I've often wondered about a couple of the folks around here. But you know, on January 17th, 1950, there was a Brinks armored car robbery in Boston where 11 masked bandits stole $2.8 million from an armored car outside their express office. Now, we're talking 1950, $2.8 million. But then on second thought, the only way I think anybody here would have been involved in that is if they really were bad at managing money after they stole it. Right, geez. I don't think we'd be
That's
here
usually...
doing that.
We had a businessman here in town who had money in his house, and his wife had some remodeling done, and she told him, she said, if you find any money, report it and give it to me, because he had money. Well, they went in and did the work, and they stole the money, stole over $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
They probably would have got by with that, but what they did is they went out and bought them a new truck and a new boat and stuff, and they checked into it, and they got it. They people just don't know how to do things, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, they kind of, like, put a red flag up. That's really cool. Okay, how about we do a twofer? Let's do two in a row. Let's do 1951 and 1952. 1951 is a song by Billy Eckstein. It's called I Apologize, and what's kind of fun about that song, it was done by a whole bunch of folks and was first published in 1931 and recorded by Bing Crosby and was a very successful song in 1931. But Billy Eckstein redid it in 1951 and actually made it quite popular. And the second song, and no one will go without any introduction necessary, The High Noon, Do Not Forsake Me, Frankie Lane. So let's start with the 1951.
If I told a lie, if I made you cry, when I said goodbye, I'm sorry. From the bottom of my heart, dear, I apologize. If I cause you pain, I know I'm to blame. Must have been insane. Believe me, from the bottom. apologize. I realize I've been unfair to you. Please let me make amends. Don't say that you forgot the love we knew. After all, we were more than friends. If I've made you blue, I've had heartaches too. Now I beg of you, forgive me. Give me back your glance, give me back romance, give me one more chance.
Forsake me, oh my darling. On this our wedding day, do not forsake me, oh my darling. Wait, wait long. I do not know what fate awaits me. I only know I must be brave, and I must face a man who hates me, or lie a coward, a craven coward, or lie a coward in my grief. Oh, to be torn twixt love and duty. Supposing I lose my fair haired beauty. Look at that big hand move along near in high noon. He made a vow while in state's prison, vowed it would be my life for his, and I'm not afraid of death, but oh, what will I do if you leave me? Do not forsake me, oh my darling. You made that promise as a bride. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Although you're grieving, don't think of leaving. Now that I need you by my side, wait along, wait along, wait along, wait along.
Yeah, you heard the 51 hit that we picked out. I apologize, or apologize. It sounds like he's asking me. How about you, Gigi's Boots? I think he says apologize.
I think he's adding theatrics to it.
I think you're right. Now, Billy Eckstein, not to sell his voice short, had quite a nice voice. And the 1952 hit, High Noon, from the movie High Noon. Most people know that. And that was Frankie Lane. Okay, Gigi's Boo. Let's see. Don't you think it's time? Let's do a little fun quiz. How about How about that? What do you think, Gigi Spoo?
Okay.
All right. Let me get all set up here. Let's see. I need that. Okay. All right. Here's the first question. And this is going to be an easy one. Actually, Gigi Spoo beat me up. Said, you ask too many hard questions. You have to stop that. So I said, okay. Let's do an easy one. Okay, guys. Here we go. Name one actor from the 1952 movie Singing in the Rain. One actor from the 1952 movie Singing in the Rain. Okay. One actor from Singing in the Rain. All right, we've got an answer.
Grim Near.
We have an answer in the RLM chat room. Anybody?
We got one from Grim Near.
Yeah, anybody in the Discord chat? Anybody over there? Singing in the Rain. Who knows? Oh, all right, here we go. Singing in the Rain. How about Gene Kelly? And Grim Near correctly answered that. Yay!
Winner!
Who's the girl?
All right. Okay. Now we have.
Give you a little hint. America's Sweetheart.
There you go. Yeah. Who is this? There was a girl in there. Yeah. Who was that? Let's just. Nobody wants to guess who the girl was. Who was that girl, Gigi? Who?
Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah. Debbie Reynolds. Debbie Reynolds and the other actor was Donald O'Connor. That's a name that might work better for many people. A lot of folks might remember that name. So what I'm trying to say, not very well. All right. So what else was going on in 1950s? How about in 1951 on June 27th? The first regularly scheduled color TV program was introduced by CBS. And the name of that show, The World is Yours, with Ivan T. Sanderson. Yeah, that whole thing eventually brought lifelike shows into every American home that had a television. There were a lot of American homes getting televisions. Okay, here's a good one, Gigi's Boo. You might know this. I think you will. What sticky substance was invented in 1951?
Super.
Super glue. Yeah. Now that's a lot older than I thought it was. Super glue, 1951. And how about this crazy magazine that had a very recognizable cartoon figure on the front with a hair parted in the middle? Was first issued in 1952. You know what the name of that magazine was?
I do, but let's give somebody a chance to guess.
Kate knows. Mad Magazine. First published in 1952 was Mad Magazine. And on July 17th, 1952, the Disney Park opened. First of two theme parks built at the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, California. The only theme park designed and built by Walt Disney himself. Now, what's another thing that found its way? Let's see. We talked earlier about the people who skated around and car hops, you know. But this chain did not have car hops that I know of. But it did come into being on July 17th, 1955. And who knows what chain that might have been. Anybody? Yeah, Kate again. Whew. Dang, Kate's on fire. McDonald's. Yeah, Ray Kroc.
There you go, Kate.
Yeah. Ray Kroc founded a franchise business on a successful restaurant operated by brothers Dick and Mac McDonald, forming what would become McDonald's. Okay. Now, who's guilty of this one? In 1954, Swanson introduced something that made eating in front of the TV a lot easier. You know what those were called? That's an easy. Yeah, Grim Near TV dinners. Ooh.
Yeah, I don't like those things though.
No. But you know, back in the day, they might.
They were better back in the day.
Yeah, might have actually been real food. It's hard to tell. Okay, let's see what else we got going. Yeah, Adrian.
Yeah, says, they are, Grim. They're nasty.
Adrian barfs. She said, Grim says they're nasty. So I think the verdict is don't eat one. Okay, here's another thing that I did not know is as old as this. In 1956, this material was developed that you could actually use as a closure instead of buttons or zippers.
Use it all the time.
Yeah, nowadays we see it on everything. Yeah, who knows what that material is. Yeah, Grim Near.
There you go, Grim Near.
Absolutely.
Velcro. Wow.
They're on fire over there. I'm telling you, they are on fire. Speaking of on fire, oh yeah, by the way, a fellow by the name of George D. Maestro, of all names. Oh, he really did. So we had a synchronicity because over at the IRC trivia game that they play, I think starting about noontime Eastern, as we listened to the blues at Grimner Place, they had that question in the trivia. Wow, Jeezy's Boo, what do you think about
it? I have a real funny story about some TV dinners, if y'all want to hear it.
No, please, go ahead.
Okay. Having worked at the hospital, I worked in the emergency room, and we had a young married couple come in. They were in their, well, I won't say young, they were in their middle 20s. And the husband was just really sick. He just was sick. We started fluids on him, and we asked him if he'd eat anything out of the ordinary. He said no. And when his wife stepped out of the room, he said, please, I don't want to hurt her feelings. We just got married, and she don't know how to cook, and all she's fed me is TV dinners. And I'm so sick of looking at those things. Since you set it down tonight, I went to vomiting. Y'all going to have to do something. Either give me something to make my stomach strong or give her some cooking classes. And we thought that was so funny. We have laughed for years about that. The poor guy come in sick at his stomach because that's all he could eat was food with TV dinners.
Right. My. Okay, let's move on with some music here in the 1953 selection. Now, I'll be honest, I picked this song because it was one of my mother's favorites. And so it's called Ebb Tide by Frank Klaxfield. There you go, Mom. Okay, Gigi's Boo. This next song is one of your favorites, and we're going to go from one extreme to the other in 1954.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, and this is like the signature song of Dean Martin. So here we go.
Yes.
That's Amore.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play, tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarantella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
That's amore.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
That's amore.
Okay, Dean Martin, that's Amore. Gigi's Boo. What do you know about that song?
I love it.
Yeah, isn't that nice? That was actually his signature song, as it turns out. And that was a song that he performed in one of the Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin movies, comedy movies that they did so many of. They're actually quite funny, I thought. Those are movies you don't see much anymore. I don't know when the last time I saw one. But yeah, that's Amore. And Adrian over at Suspect Sky, he threw a gif of someone with a passed out with a 21 inch pizza in the box.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a pretty good deal. Okay, what else happened now in 1950s? Whoever played with a hula hoop, anybody here guilty of that? I admit that I had one when I was a kid. I had a hula hoop. Who else had a hula hoop? Anybody? Yeah.
I had one. It was bought recently, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You still buy them.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Imagine that. You know, I guess the patent's probably expired on the hula hoop, huh?
Probably has.
Yeah. Yeah, 1958. Arthur K. Spud Mellon and Richard Nair invented the hula hoop. And that wasn't the only one. Yeah, Grimner's sister had a hula hoop. He used to see how far he could roll it. Yeah, but that's pretty much, you know what, you reminded me of something. He used to take it and throw it up, spinning it backwards. So when it hit the ground, it would come back at you. Right? And Moose Girl says she can't do the hula hoop thing. I guess there's a certain gyration of some sort. I was never very successful at either. That's why I ended up playing with it that way. Yeah. Beth, there's Beth C. She hooped around multiple hoops and grass skirts too, as I recall, way back from the day of Miss Green's show. I don't know if Beth remembers that or not. That was a long time ago. Yeah, old Miss Green. Let's see what else is going on here. Legos. No, that's a different one. Jeez. Lego toy bricks were pioneered and patented. The shape, anyway. But the problem was they couldn't find the right material. So it took another 5 years to actually develop. So, yeah. Double Dutch skip, but not with hoops. Right? Double Dutch bus. That, a lot of people didn't even know what that song meant, I think, when it came out back in the day. Remember that song, Gigi's Boo? Double Dutch Bus? Oh, my. Okay. Okay, well, here we go. Here's a nice one. You like the platters, right, Gigi's Boo?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's who we picked for 1955, and this is a really, really nice song. Okay, enjoy it.
Only you can to make all this world seem right. Only you can to make the darkness bright. Only you and you
Platters, only you. And you alone. Yeah, 1955. Funny little story about that song. They had done that song much earlier, but it never really got any traction. And the lead singer, while they were goofing around in the car, he was singing the song, and he kind of did the, oh, you know, that little exaggerated only you thing. And everybody laughed, but then they said, you know what, that actually sounded pretty good. So they incorporated that into the song, and guess what? It went popular. Imagine that, Gigi's Boo, just little thing.
That's one of those songs that never, ever gets old.
Oh, no.
Never.
It sure doesn't. How about let's do another quick little thing here. Now, this little question, get up everything I need to get up here. Hello. Okay, we're ready. All right, this little question's a little harder than the first one, I think. Maybe not. Okay. What locations in the 50s were popularly called passion pits? What locations were called passion pits? Okay, in the 1950s, there was a little nickname given to these places called the Passion Pits. They called them Passion Pits. Anyone having any idea what those places were? Graham was close. He's got
the
right.
Yeah, I time I say close.
He's got the right activity. Kate got a little cooler. It has to do with movies. Big hint. Yeah, Kate, drive-in theaters.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, we got it.
Winner.
We got a big lake here. Great big lake.
Yeah.
And
drive-in theaters, known as a passion pit. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, there, you're talking about Lover's Lane under the bridge. Okay, okay. There was a place nearby where I grew up, and it was called the Duck Pond. And that seemed to be the place that people would go to park. And the joke was that it was the only lake in the world with a rubber bottom.
We've got something around here.
It's a big lake.
I'm just great.
And we named everything. Some of the guys on the submarine race.
All right, hold up there. Gigi's Boo couldn't hear the music, but that's all. Go ahead, Gigi's Boo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I said there's a lake around here that the guys used to call, would go park, and they'd call it to watch the submarine races.
Right.
And I don't know. My mom and dad were pretty smart, but they kind of got to investigating. And we were going out. Somebody said, one of them said, where are you going? And we said, oh, we're probably going down here to skate a little bit, and then we're going to go to the submarine races. And Daddy jumped up, and I'm not on a censored channel, so I could say it. He said, ain't no such thing as a damn submarine race. Y'all going off down that lake park. I'm coming down there with a shotgun. We'll see how I can scatter people. So submarine races ended for us. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this next song, the one I started, but that's okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. It needs a little introduction anyway, because the last song you heard, Only You by the Platters, this is also the upcoming song. It's a 1956 song by the Platters. And it was written in 5 minutes by their songwriter, who was also like their business manager. And it just went, they were in a little store somewhere alongside the road that stopped, and he came up with this song in his head in like 5 minutes. And it's The Great Pretender.
That's my very, very favorite.
There you go.
In a world of my own, I play.
the great pretender. Just laughing and gay like the clown. I seem to be what I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown, pretending that you're still.
Wake up my big butt. We were just talking about the Passion Pit, Chee Chee's Boo. Well, they got, it looks like they got stuck in it. Oh.
Yeah, I believe that real good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's 4 o'clock, they went to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know better than that.
We know better than that, don't we?
Yeah, they're doing the horizontal mambo. That's what they were doing. Oh, my. Okay, you heard the Pretender and then Wake Up Little Susie. Yeah. What else going on? Let's see. Oh, who knew this? Let's ask it as a question, because I think someone, Kate particularly, probably know this. On November 16th, 1959, a legendary musical opened on Broadway. It would close in June 1961 after 1,443 performances. Who knows what that classic, that legendary musical? I mean, there was a movie made about it and had something to do with a family by the name of Von Trapp. Oh, that's a big clue. Who knows? Anybody know? Come on now. I think we must have dropped off. Like, yeah, Moose Girl got it. Yeah, The Sound of Music. The Sound of Music. Yeah, they ran 1,443 performances. Imagine that. Wow. Yes, sirree. That's exactly what it was. Moose Girl, I knew she needs to be here live more often because she knows these answers. Yeah. Okay, let's see. We've gone to the end of our stuff here, so the only thing left is the final question. And we'll just hang on for that for a second and go ahead and play another You ready to play another song? How about the one from 1958, G.T.'s Boo?
Yes.
Now, before we play this song, this is interesting. The name of it is Oh Lonesome Me by Don Gibson. Now, Don Gibson, I think, was from Durham, North Carolina. Is that right?
No.
Where was he
from? Don Gibson was from Shelby, North Carolina.
Shelby.
Small town, right across the South Carolina-North Carolina border.
Yeah. And he left school after the second grade, and he wound up in Nashville and became very, very popular and did a whole lot of work. I think he became associated with some of the big names out there. So he's quite a success story, regardless of what maybe parts of what we don't know, of course. But he became quite a success story. And this particular song was one of my favorites when I was growing up. Oh, Lonesome Me.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for staying home and having none. I can't get over how she set me free. Oh, lonesome me. A bad mistake I'm making by just hanging around. I know that I should have some fun and paint the town. A lovesick fool is blind and just can't be. Oh, lonesome me. I bet she's not like me. She's out fancy free, flirting with the boys with all her charms. But I still love her so. And brother, don't you know, I'd welcome her right back here in my arms. Well, there must be some way I can lose these lonesome blues. Forget about the past and find somebody new. I thought of everything from A to Z. Well, I bet she's not like me. She's out fancy free, flirting with the boys with all her charms. But I still love her so. And brother, don't you know, I'd welcome her right back here in my arms. Can lose these lonesome blues. Forget about the past and find somebody new. I thought of everything from A to Z. Oh, lonesome me. Oh, lonesome me.
Oh. Yeah, Oh, Lonesome Me, Don Gibson. I always liked that song. I don't know. I'm not sure why. Just it may have been the point in my life. What do you think, G.T.'s Boo? Have any ideas?
Yes, and it could be the upbeat music, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he had quite a good voice, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did. I can't believe that he stayed at a second grade level education.
Yeah.
I think he probably had private tutors and things when he did well and, you know, they helped him.
Yeah, his vocabulary is pretty good for a second grader.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I want to say over at the Discord chat, Isa Peacekeeper actually answered the Sound of Music as well. And for some reason, I missed that, and I apologize. But good job, Isa Peacekeeper, for correctly identifying the name of that play, or that show, I guess. All right, G.T.'s Boo, how about we do, before we do the last song, the 1959 song, which will take us out of here, why don't we do the last question?
Okay.
Now, this one, this is a little bit, it's a little bit odd, but I want you to, like, think broadly about this question. and think about all the things that were going on in the 50s and all the things, all the inventions of the 50s and all the things that people were doing in the 50s or started doing at home in the 50s. And that's probably enough hints. What do you think, Gigi? Woo, you ready?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were the 1950s popularly known as? What were the 1950s popularly known as?
Got one answer in Real Liberty.
Okay, the music, the song is over. The time is up. We have a whole bunch of great answers. And as far as I'm concerned, I think they're all correct. However, Moose Girl most accurately answered the question, because the 1950s were popularly known as the Golden Age of Television. Golden Age of Television. What do you think? I think Moose Girl got that, don't you, Gigi?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Winner.
But all the other answers were just as good. I mean,
Grimnir could be right, and so could Beth.
Sure, and then over at the Discord chat with people in Nuclear Family era, that's a very accurate thing Eliza Peacekeeper put out. Suspect Sky said the Atomic Era. Yes, it was. Absolutely was. And what else did we have? We had commie trials and a baby boom and the Red Scare.
And the Red Scare era, yeah.
And the programming. Yeah, I think so. So there you go. And that pretty much, I kind of like that question because it had so many different answers. And I guess, you know, I mean, who in the world is the authority? Who designated the 50s as the Golden Age of Television? Well, certainly was. They call it whatever they want to call it, right? Yeah. Okay, tell lies. Okay, I've got all kinds of stuff going on over the IRC chat. They're going off the deep end over there. Gigi's moving on now. Tell lie vision. That's right. They call it programming for a reason, don't they? Hmm. Okay. Well, that's about it for the best of the 50s, Gigi's Boo. Do you have any thoughts about the 50s that we haven't covered?
Just a personal thought. I think it'd be a whole lot of fun to grow up in the 50s myself.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience that growing up in the 50s was fun compared to now. It's like, I guess that's one of the things that is most discouraging to me, and I don't like to go off on this type of direction on this show, but I think the world would be a lot better place if we were more like people were in the 50s. Don't you think, Gigi's Boo?
Oh, I know so.
You had neighbors and you had people. Who would come over and sit on the porch and just stay a spell and talk, and you weren't afraid to go out of the house at daylight and run all over the place, and as long as you were back by the sundown, everything was okay and nobody worried about you, checked on you. You could walk to school, which I did every day. So. Those were the days, as that song goes. It's okay. It's time for us to get out of here. We've run way over time. Well, not too far. But it'll end up being about 10 minutes over, I guess. So it's okay.
I tell everybody good night. Thank you for coming. Remember, tell everybody that you love them. You're not promised another minute. I love all of y'all. Good night.
That's right. And we'll be back next week. We'll be, 1960. Hello, top 10 of 1960. Things are going to get heated up. as we move through the 60s. We're starting to really get into it now, Gigi's Boo. So thanks so much, everyone, for listening and hanging with us on this Best of the 1950s Top 10 show. And we look forward to seeing you again next week, same time, same station. And we will leave out of here with a song, the 1959 hit, That's Why I Love You So, by Jackie Wilson. See you guys later.
Gabby.